to the Bible Insights podcast with your host, Val Waldick. We're doing a bird's eye view study of the book of Revelation, and today we are looking at the second half of the Great Tribulation. It was told in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, to write the things which you have seen, which he did in chapter 1, when he wrote about the risen, glorified Christ, and the things which are, representing the church age, and the things which will take place after this, after the church is raptured. You'll notice in Revelation chapters 4 to 6 and onwards, you never again see the church on earth. The church is raptured and it's praising God in heaven, and the Antichrist takes control of the world for 7 years. This is called the time of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 30 verse 7 says, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." Jeremiah 30 verse 11, the Lord says, "I am with you, says the Lord, to save you. Though I make a full end of all the nations where I have scattered you, yet I will not make a complete end of you." We know that a third of Israel will survive this terrible time of persecution from Antichrist and will turn to the Lord and find him in the desert, and we've already talked about that on previous podcasts. Revelation chapter 6 verse 1 introduces us to the Antichrist. The church has been raptured, and then John sees the seven seal judgments begin to happen, and the first one is the rider on the white horse, Revelation chapter 6 verse 1, and this is the counterfeit Messiah. We know that he signs a 7-year peace treaty with Israel after the resounding defeat of the Ezekiel war prophesied in chapters 38 and 39, when the Middle Eastern nations led by Russia, Turkey, and Iran invade Israel. And we know that after this, Antichrist takes control over the whole world. He forms a global government, a global religion, and a global economic system. That means he has full control over the finances of the world. Halfway through this 7-year peace treaty, we discovered that he breaks that 7-year peace treaty, and then he persecutes the Jews. Many flee to the desert, where 1/3 at least survive and find the Lord during that terrible time. Revelation chapter 6 onwards speaks about 3 series of judgment as God pours out his wrath on the earth. We've already looked at the 7 seal judgments, the first one which released the Antichrist into the world, the 7 trumpet judgments, and they followed by the 7 bowl judgments, the topic of our study today. You remember the 7 seal judgments. The first one, the revelation of Antichrist. The second one introduced global war. There's going to be a world war, and it's going to take place when seal number 2, after the Antichrist is in control of the world, this global war will take place. The nations will invade Antichrist's kingdom to claim back their sovereignty. There's economic catastrophe, there's mass death, 1/4 of the earth will be destroyed. Number 5, there were the prayers of the persecuted saints. Number 6, cosmic disturbances affecting every mountain and island. And then 7, half an hour of silence before the trumpet judgment sounds. Those trumpet judgments are much worse than the 7 seal judgments. Trumpet number 1 destroys 1/3 of nature. Number 2, marine life. 1/3 of marine life and ships are destroyed. Number 3, 1/3 of fresh water is contaminated. Number 4, 1/3 of light is diminished. And then John says the last 3 are so bad that they are called woes. Woe number 1 is the release of demons to torment human beings. Woe number 2, demon-led armies at the Battle of Armageddon. And woe number 3, preparation for the final series of judgments called the 7 bowl judgments. Revelation chapter 10 verses 6 and 7 says that these bold judgments will bring history to an end as we know it. The end has come. The angel swore by him who lives forever and ever that there should be delay no longer. But in the days of the sounding of the 7th angel, when he's about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants the prophets. This final series of judgments ends the reign of Antichrist. They're called the bold judgments, and you find them in Revelation chapter 16, verse 1. John says, "I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the 7 angels, 'Go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth.'" Now, you know, there's been global war going on. The nations are fighting each other. There's been an exchange of nuclear power. And we've seen that the term wormwood refers to this. We know what happened in Japan as well after that bomb was released on them, how the people suffered terrible malignant diseases as the skin just melted off their bodies. And the same thing's going to happen, but much worse. When bowl number one is poured out on the earth, there will be dreadful malignant diseases. Revelation chapter 16 verse 2 tells us about it. So the first angel went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. This is the result of nuclear warfare started during the seal and the trumpet judgments. It's going to get much worse. Bowl number two destroys all of marine life. Everything that's been left over is destroyed. When the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, verse 3 of chapter 16, it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. All fish, all mammals, every living creature. Can you imagine what that does in a time of famine and war? And then bowl number three is poured out. The third angel poured out the bowl on the rivers and the springs of water, verse 4, and they became blood. No more fresh water on the earth. No more springs of water. The rivers are like blood. The sea's like blood. It's a terrible thing. I don't know if you remember seeing the report in Turkey in July 2015 when the sea turned to red and it looked like blood and people were unable to drink the water. Can you imagine in a time of famine, people are thirsty, the sun's out of control, and there's no water. That's what happens when the third angel pours out his bowl. This all sounds like a nuclear exchange. And then bowl number four, verse 8, a terrible thing happens. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. The sun is going to go completely out of control. Those radioactive waves, those heat, if you've ever been in a very hot country, maybe something like Hong Kong where it can go up to 40 degrees, and you've experienced intense heat, perhaps in a desert place, this is going to be much worse because the sun is just going to get out of control and going to burn men, scorch men with fire. And remember, there's no water, nothing to drink, no food. Bowl number five. Did you notice these bowls are happening in rapid succession? All these three judgments happen in the last 3.5 years of Antichrist's reign after he's broken the peace treaty. All this happens in the 3.5 years. They happen one after the other in rapid succession. Now the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and the kingdom became full of darkness. The nations want their sovereignty back. Antichrist is ruling everything, the oil, the finance, everything. And the nations invade Israel. We've seen in the last podcast that China comes down and many of the nations come down. They invade his kingdom and there's terrible trouble. The kingdom becomes full of darkness, Antichrist's kingdom. People gnawed their tongues because of the pain. You think they'd cry for mercy to God. But Revelation 16, 10 and 11 tells us they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. And then bowl number six is poured out on the earth. And here we see a final demonic invasion. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and the water was dried up. Have you seen the reports in the media about the Euphrates River drying up? It's actually started to happen, and now it's going to happen at this time that the river is going to be completely dried up so that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. The kings of the east, China and its followers, will be coming down to the land of Israel to invade Antichrist's kingdom and to take back their sovereignty. And the river Euphrates is going to be so dry that they're going to walk right across. Nothing can stop them. And John says that I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophets. This talks about demons. These demons will influence these armies as they come down, and they'll be demon-possessed armies. Folks, this is Armageddon ahead, the world's last battle before King Jesus comes to reign. Revelation 14 identifies these frogs. They are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty, the battle of Armageddon. Every nation in the world is going to send its armies down to Israel. There's going to be a huge war, and this is called the battle of Armageddon, the final battle before Jesus takes control. Revelation 16 verse 16 tells us, and they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Armageddon, the nations have an appointment with destiny. You can go to the Valley of Jezreel and you can look down on the plains of Megiddo, where all the major battles of Israel have been fought through the ages, the plains of Armageddon. That is where the final battle is going to take place, which the Lord is going to stop with the brightness of his coming. And finally, we come to bowl number 7, which signifies the end of world history. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." Remember when Jesus died on the cross and he paid the price for our sin? As he died, he said, "It is done," and salvation was accomplished for mankind. And now this angel, as he pours out the seventh bowl, he says, "It is done. It is over. All the evil is over. All your prayers for peace and prosperity and for the end of evil are being answered at this stage. It is done." The Battle of Armageddon is in full swing. There's nuclear devastation. The world is in a state of chaos. Revelation 16:18 tells us there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as has not occurred since men were on the earth. Whether this is a natural earthquake or whether it's one caused by all these nuclear bombs that are coming upon the earth, doesn't matter. What matters is that there's going to be a time of terrible devastation as that bowl is poured out. And that leads to the fall of Antichrist's economic and spiritual kingdoms. You can read more about that in Revelation chapter 18. Revelation 16 and 19 tells us, now the great city was divided into three parts. That's Jerusalem. And the cities of the nations fell. Jesus Christ is going to take control of all the nations and their armies. And Great Babylon, the center of Antichrist's kingdom, was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. The Lord has had enough of Antichrist. He's had enough of evil. And Revelation 16:19 tells us that he's going to destroy totally all evil. Revelation 16:20 and 21 tells us what happens next. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. The world was flattened and devastated. And great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. That's about 100 pounds. If you've seen hailstones the size of golf balls, you've seen nothing. The hailstones that are coming at this time are going to weigh about 100 pounds as they come and fall on these armies that are fighting in Israel. Again, people do not repent. We read in verses 20 and 21 that men blasphemed God because of the plague of hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. And as this chaos is happening, this total devastation, the earth is being totally destroyed, the armies are being destroyed, it looks like there's no hope, it looks like it's the end of the world, when something magnificent happens. And we find in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 to 16, the return of Jesus Christ to earth, as he promised. There were many prophecies about the first coming of Jesus. In fact, well over 300 prophecies. But there are many, many, many more about his return to earth. Jesus Christ is coming back again. He's coming first to meet the church in the air. He won't return to earth at that time. After 7 years of Antichrist's reign, he's coming back at this time of devastation in the midst of the Battle of Armageddon. We read about it in Revelation 19, verses 11 to 16. "Now I saw heaven open," said John, "and behold, a white horse." This white horse is the real Messiah. This white horse is Jesus Christ. Listen to the description. "And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True." Those are titles of Jesus Christ. Remember Revelation chapter 1 when John saw the risen, glorified Christ? He sees him again here. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. This is the same Jesus who came to earth and shed his blood for our sins. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name, do you want to know what his name is? His name is called the Word of God. Do you remember John chapter 1? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus Christ, the Word of God. His robe is dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And here's a wonderful promise, believer. and the armies of heaven. Who are the armies of heaven? The angels, they'll be included, yes. But who else? John describes them here. He says, the armies of heaven, clothed in white linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Those are the believers of all ages. Right from the beginning of creation until now, until the rapture, they come. We come back with them and be clothed in white linen, white and clean, washed by the blood of Jesus, and we follow him on white horses. And if you have some doubt about who this person is, John says in verse 16, he has on his robe and on his thigh written, and this is his name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is Jesus Christ. There's devastation coming. There's a terrible time of trouble coming for the Jews. There's an end to evil and Antichrist dominion. There's nuclear warfare and devastation, and the earth suffers greatly. But I want you to know that God has everything under control. Matthew chapter 24, verse 25, when Jesus spoke about the things that would happen, he said, see, I've told you beforehand. God has got everything planned. He knows exactly what's going to happen, in what sequence is going to happen. And he shared something of that with us in the book of Revelation. I need to remind you again that in chapter 10, John was given some information and told not to write it down. And so if somebody doesn't see things the way you see them, know this, that there's some pieces missing out of the jigsaw. God didn't reveal the whole picture to us, but he revealed enough to let us know what's coming. He said, see, I have told you beforehand. Luke writes in his book in chapter 21, verse 28, he said, now when these things begin to happen, when you see the beginning of the formation of a world government, when you see the formation of a world religion, the one faith religion, when you see the beginning of a global economic program that will force people to use digital money and not real money through computer systems placed in their body, we see this technology developing right now. When you see these things begin to happen, when they begin to happen, Luke says, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Jesus Christ is coming back very, very soon. The rapture of the church is even closer. There are no signs before the rapture of the church. It could happen at any time. We're seeing the signs that are talked about before the reign of Antichrist because the rapture hasn't happened yet, but the rapture could happen at any time. It's imminent, and we need to be ready. Jesus Christ said, be ready, watch therefore, and be ready. He told us in Matthew chapter 24, be ready for the coming of the Lord. Last words of Jesus, recorded in the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, says this. He who testifies to these things says, surely, I'm coming quickly. What is your reaction to that? Are you saying amen? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We're tired of this evil. We're tired of watching the world being overtaken by evil people with evil passions and evil desires and the evil ways that they're forcing upon the world. We're tired of it. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Or are you saying, Lord, don't come yet. I need some time. There's some things that I need to sort out in my life before you come. Folks, if you're feeling like that today, then deal with those issues. Deal with them. Forgive. Make peace. Do whatever you have to do, whatever the Spirit of God puts his finger upon in your life. But be ready, because the Lord could return at any moment. I once heard a bishop preaching on the beaches of Durban in South Africa, and he told us this. He said, every morning when I wake up, I open my curtains and I look up at the clouds and I say, Lord, perhaps you'll come today. Today could be the day of the rapture. And he said, then I try to live every moment of my day in the light of the soon return of Jesus Christ. May he be an example to us. He who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Please visit my website, valwaldick.com, and return next week as we see what happens when Jesus arrives on the Mount of Olives. It's an exciting study. God bless you.